Coming up on American Parlor Songbook. It's a real page-turner on a show about books, plays, and storycraft of all kinds. A future society rediscovers Shakespeare. JP tells another true childhood tale. Old Hollywood composer Wendell Rathbone works on his autobiography. Art Podell brings us the history of the talking blues. And Vermont singer-songwriter Chris Gruen performs.
Not bad, but we need some more literary devices in there.
Really? Like what?
Start with a dramatic opening line.
Coming up, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Good, now some exposition.
It's a show about stuff on the radio.
Good, a little pathetic fallacy.
The rain is sad.
Rising action.
Art Podell wrestles his guitar.
Climax.
And Chris Gruen triumphantly sings.
And denouement.
And it all wraps up nicely with a lullaby.
The end.
Perfect. This is American Parlor Songbook, with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
And as always on the other microphone, she's a figment of my imagination, and I can't believe you're still buying it, Julie Van Dusen. Story, mythology, folklore, fairy tales, screenplays, archetypes and tropes, right? We've been spinning yarns and telling up tall tales since we crawled out of the primordial muck and groped the monolith. Since the minute us crazed monkeys figured out that our tongues were good for something more than fishing for ticks, we've been yakking and yakking and yakking and yakking. Grabbing anyone who would listen, just making stuff up. Not lies exactly, no. Not even make-believe, really, no. Metaphors, allegories, there's something true about them. Undo the beautiful, confusing mess that is the human condition, like a shaman by the fire, or a teacher at story time, or a juicy daytime soap opera, or moving cinematic masterpieces, or totally pretentious public radio variety show introductions.
Homer spins a winding thread, feathering on the Bard and Bars yawning ahead, earnest and wild, jewels up to the stars, and drawing it taut till the end.
A play in three acts, or a movie in seven reels, or a novel in 300 pages, right? Books are best to curl up with. The reels are metal and they're big and clunky. I suppose you could curl up with the cast of a three-act play, if that's your thing. I'm not judging you. I might write about it, though. A good salacious farce, a haunting tragedy, a thrilling epic, all telling one big story with a common thread across all time. Humanity. 100 billion people so far ever lived or died in the big story. 100 billion. Now, they said it would take an infinite number of monkeys on an infinite number of typewriters to write War and Peace. Turns out it only took 100 billion. I guess it only took one idiot to write Art of the Deal, though. Exposition, rising action, climax, falling action, denouement. You've got to have a beginning, middle, and end. You know, like a romance. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back, right? Or sci-fi. Boy meets girl, girl is an android, boy gets electrocuted. Or Japanese sci-fi. Boy meets Tokyo, boy smashes Tokyo, Tokyo smashes boy back. Or the one-act horror, boy eats girl, the end. Really catch their attention, hold it with rising action, maybe some plot twists. That's the structure, right? The craft. The heart, though, the heart is where it gets interesting. Somehow, across all time and cultures, it stays the same. They repeat, right? Certain themes and archetypes, right? They seem to be built into our existence and keep coming back around.
Homer spins a winding thread, feathering on the wind. Bard and Bars yawning ahead, earnest and wild, jewels up to the stars. it taut till the end.
Those symbols. The symbols, they're more than just borrowed and passed along. Your dark and stormy skies, well, they've been foreshadowing doom for centuries, right? Well, not because someone did it first and then, well, everyone else copied them. No, it's because of our world and us in our world, and the way we exist in it. Storms are dangerous, right? And well, we don't want to get wet. What better way to hint at a little doom around the corner than put some clouds up in the sky, right? Seems obvious. They get deeper, though, you know, more subconscious. Mirrors, reflections, monsters, ourselves, apples of knowledge, apples to sleep, or my favorite movie trick, the MacGuffin. You never see it in the movie. It's inside a briefcase or off camera somewhere. The ultimate desirable thing, and it always glows gold and lights up the faces. Sometimes your good old-fashioned hack will just, you know, toss them in for cheap effect, like me. A good story, though, they sneak it in there. They make you feel it, the truth. It vibrates back with you, echoes all the way back through you to your mom and your grandma, inside you, all the way back to the primitive you by the fire under the dark and stormy sky. So why do we do it? Tell stories. What does it all mean? Don't ask me, I'm just a monkey too. But if I had to guess, and I guess I have to guess because I am talking at you now, well, I'd guess that it's how we reckon with consciousness and time. The enormity of it. We're basically just one big existential crisis, all of us. A million-year-long neuroses, like a single collective unconscious organism, whether an accident or by some design. No, well, we got woke in a world of things, animals that are just supposed to be. Eat, hide, reproduce, turn to dust. No, we woke up in it. Yikes. And it makes no sense, but it's got to make sense. Why else, right? So we started telling it, the story. It's all really one big story, a billion years long, until the sun expands and swallows us up.
Echoed are we in time, each of us born to die.
That spark, those words, they keep us going. They tell our story through time. But stories are practical, too. We're raised by them. They make us better. You know, fairy tales, easy little lessons, how not to die, basically. And those old ones, well, they're still just as good. Not much has changed. It's still a bad idea for you and your sister to climb into a strange old lady's oven. There's still wolves in the woods to trick you. Shakespeare still ought to make a teenage girl cry, and Holden is every angsty young man, and Moby Dick is still just out of reach. No matter what we do, we're still us, and a good story is a good story. So, well, we're going to try and tell a few today, maybe some laughs, maybe a couple of songs. Stick around, it writes itself.
Homer spins a winding thread, feathering on the wind. Bard and Boz yawning ahead, earnest and wild, jewels up to the stars, and drawing it taut till the end, till the end.
I'm sure you've heard the expression, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few old ladies. Sense of morality. So if you are an old lady, or an old man for that matter, or a young man, maybe a social justice warrior, and, well, you're offended by something you hear on the program this week, you can tweet me directly at @JPHouston, and you'll be promptly ignored. Now, since we're doing an episode about literature and storytelling this week, we thought we should make sure that our musical guest is a great storyteller. So here with a special studio performance, our friend from Vermont, Chris Gruen.
The song's called Driving Snow.
Mm-hmm.
come back. If it happens again, forget about me one more time. My lips are sealed, you can throw away your pen. I'm the white night sky in your dreaming gallery, a window in time. I'm all you need. I'm all you need. All you need. Ooh, ooh. Please don't leave. Please don't you go. If you're lost, I'll find you. Rain, wind, and driving snow. If you choke your throat on a spiteful word, if my grieving's too weak for your world, I'll run, you'll never find. I'll run. If you close the book before you're ready to believe in the fairy tales living up your sleeves, I'm gone, and no, you'll never find. I'm gone, and no, you'll never find. If you're lost, I'll find you. Rain, wind, and driving snow. Please don't leave. Please don't you go. If you're lost, I'll find you. Rain, wind, and driving snow. Rain, wind, and driving snow. Rain, wind, and driving snow. Driving snow. Driving snow.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX. And we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
This episode of All Fake Things Considered is made possible with support from The Kardashian Corporation, global leaders in the export of nothing. The Kardashian Corporation. Kill me now.
Your top stories for November 12, 2092. President Barron Trump has promised the latest redraft of the health care bill will finally make it through the Senate. 151-year-old Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has called for a political revolution against the trillionaires in the trillionaire class. A new study has confirmed the safety of vaporized tobacco suppositories. Critics of the report claim its industry-funded scientists are just blowing smoke. Moon Cheese is up 2,000 crypto drachma, Lorne Michaels' Ghost has won its 300th Emmy, and it's a sunny 140 degrees in the Tropic of Minnesota. Your top stories for November 12, 2092. Now, a special episode of Radio on Books.
I'm Sarah Van Peebles, and it's time for Books on the Radio. On Radio, on Books. Later in the program, we'll speak with AI author Artron 900 about its latest attempt, War and Peanuts. But first, William Shakespeare. Considered lost since the book purge of 2041, Fragments of the 16th century playwright's works were recently discovered beneath the ruins of Chelsea Clinton Middle School in East New West Detroit. Renowned literary scholar Dennis Dennis explains, reconstructing Shakespeare.
We were able to uncover several pages from an anthology entitled Shakespeare for Noobs, compiled by then seventh grader Brandon Doyle. One of the biggest revelations was the fact that it's actually pronounced Shakespeare.
Dennis walked us through the painstaking process of assembling the lost works.
Using the predictive language programming of Artron 900, we were able to assemble a complete scene from the fragments.
Here, for the first time, a scene from The Taming of the Hamlet, as performed by the Historical Theater Society of Dry Brooklyn.
Two bees or not two bees, because three is too many. Whether it droppeth as the gentle pound of flesh upon something rotten in Denmark, or related to a kiss by a rose on the grave. Juliet, ah, sweet Juliet, you are no butterface.
Romeo, Romeo, where or fart thou, Romeo? Now is the winter of our discotheque.
Whither thou art, and so then we, forsooth. Five sooth, six sooth, and so forth, as when Brutus totally pwned Caesar. Juliet, oh, Juliet, you are nobler in the mind of a summer's rose.
Oh, Romeo, brevity is the soul of Joyce DeWitt. All the world is a stage, and we are merely doodle of naked lady.
Out, out, damn spot, you are a bad dog. We are such stuff. Such stuff as drums are made of.
For we are but stardust, and to thy known self be true. Shakespeare do rhyming couplets, cause that's what he do. A minus too many direct Wikipedia quotes, Brandon. A minus!
I'm Sarah Van Peebles. Next time, on Radio on Books, we'll examine Infinite Shades of Grey with Stephen Hawking's brain. On Radio on Books.
Coming up, radio on television, on the internet, on television, on the radio, on the radio.
All right, full confession here. We had to rip open a portal in the fabric of the universe to reach into the future and obtain that last piece. So we apologize for any ripples in the space-time continuum. I think we should have another song from Chris Gruen.
The song's called Little Again. When my second daughter was born, my first daughter was there for the birth. And it was very exciting for her, very exciting for all of us, of course. But after things started to quiet down and the new baby nuzzled in next to mom, and my older daughter realized that she was losing her spot, so to speak, in the family bed. She pulled me aside and had a conversation with me that gave me most of the lyrics for this song. I kind of describe it in a nutshell as my older daughter's mid-childhood life crisis.
Oh, how I wish I was still just a baby. Sing to me, Daddy, like you did way back then. Small in your arms, warm milk and honey. Oh, I want to be little again. I didn't mean Could I be so heavy now that I can't jump and fall into your lap, onto your belly? Oh, I want to be little again.
Information about our musical guest is available on his website, chrisgruen.com, K-R-I-S-G-R-U-E-N.com. Let's have another song from Chris Gruen.
The song's called How Long Will I Wait?
Been 2 weeks and a day. Damn, these hours take shape from your face. Memory, you have my heart, right or wrong. I want you home, so I wrote you a song to sing along. Sing along. Try to console me as the sun starts to fall. But before I sleep, I pray to dream of where you are. And share in the fire of those lonesome western stars. Sing along, oh, sing along. House, it's not a home when I'm doing it all alone. I can't do it all on my own. How much longer will I wait? How much longer will I wait? How much longer will I wait?
Oh, Black lacquer keys fanned out in an arc, perched on crooked metal arms, side by side, empty below. The fingers press the key, the arm down. The arm throws the rod. Down at the end, a single raised letter that smacks the page, and a word begins. One loud clack at a time. Along goes the cylinder, down the sentence, and a steel bell rings at the end, and then a hand pulls the lever and grinds to the right to the next line. Before screens and light and mice and do-over deletes, mechanical, manual, ink. I never saw the old man typing from the front. No, he was always hunched over, just shoulders and barely the back of his bald spot, arms flailing with single-finger hooks, 60 words a minute with two crooked fingers. I'd use a crayon and try and keep up on the bed. I never knew what he was writing, but it was probably beatnik. Bookshelves were pressboard, tacked together with little wooden dowels, and all the fondue party moms and dads stocked them with Coffee, Tea, or Me, The Joy of Sex, The Myth of Mass Culture, McLuhan, Dunleavy, Ed Allen's sit-up books, and a set of Funk and Wagnall encyclopedias that petered out around the letter T. The only information at your fingertips was a paragraph long, and if you wanted the long version, you had to take the bus. Dad was always home all day from the night shift on the newswire. Taped glasses, pocket pen protectors, short-sleeve button-up shirt, sandals with socks, home-cut jean shorts. High fashion at budget prices. By me, at the end of a long line of older siblings, no one was paying attention anymore. So by the third grade, I'd already climbed the shelf and discovered the racy covers on the Henry Miller books. I didn't read them, though. Reading was for the birds. Kids get read, too. Static fuzz in gray and black like fighting bugs on the screen, followed the high-pitched beep over the color bars, after the last Steve McQueen movie on The Late Show and the National Anthem. Fat box TVs that could only hold the show as it flew by, unless its owner had already been hip to Betamax and could tape Orson Bean on Carson. As a dedicated night warrior from the age of nothing, I was crazy for the late-night stories. Old movies on the cheap UHF station, right? Eventually, I snuck a black-and-white TV leftover from the garage and buried in a pile of toys beside my bed. If I stuck my head in there, I could watch carry-on movies until 4 a.m. No, I never slept, and therefore, I never schooled. Not well, anyway. Dragging into class, the bleak rows of Formica desks. Nice 80s kids, clean-cut. Me with a pillow-induced cowlick, the line still running across my face. Red eyes, ready for a deep desk nap. Just when she dropped it. A book report. A book report? No. It's the gift that keeps on taking, twice. Once when you have to read the stupid thing, and then again when you have to talk about it. No, not for me. A movie only takes 2 hours, including Chuckwagon commercials. A book and a report, that could take a whole week. I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off. And then finally, after a double Dracula header on The Late Show, the last possible night, came the morning of panic. Oh, no, a book. A book, a book, a book. Ah, I ran into the room. Dad's back from the night shift, already pecking on that typewriter there. He's never going to see me. He doesn't pay attention, right? I zip past the back there, up to the groovy 70s leftover bookshelf, and got it. Easy. Choose Your Own Adventure, Judy Blume, and a Curious George book from the dumbest kid in class. And then, this is it, me. Can a 9-year-old fake a book report from a novel he only grabbed from the bookshelf this morning? I step to the front of the class, all eyes on me, the teacher ready with the grading pen, stern look. My book report is on The Tropic of Cancer. Up comes the book, the one with the nudes on the cover. The teacher dives, snatches the book, and I'm back down in my seat, safe and sound, without so much as a paragraph. Can a 9-year-old fake a book report from a novel he only grabbed off the shelf this morning? Answer, well, he doesn't have to if he's got a good plan.
Clacking keys from the hook finger words, climb the shelf to the bees and the birds, spinning yarns playing catch with the sun, shooting jacks with the stars, when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air.
From Big Sag, Montana, to Totsuck, Arkansas, everywhere you look, America's greatest enemy is fiddling its tentacles into your mind, poisoning you with propaganda.
Propa what?
Ganda, Billy.
Ganda? You mean like a goose?
No, stupid, like a worm, working its way into your chubby little head and telling you what to think.
You mean like this cartoon?
Don't get smart, Billy.
Ain't much risk of that happening around here.
Shut up, Billy, and follow me.
Where we going?
To hell in a handbasket. Let's go.
Aww. Say, who's that down there?
Why, that's a straw man, Billy.
He looks drunk.
Well, that's his job.
Like my Uncle Chuck?
Our straw man has a purpose.
My Aunt Jill says Uncle Chuck's purpose is to make her miserable.
Straw man's purpose is to get knocked down. You see, Billy, he's propped up there to make an easy argument. Look at it spewing out of his mouth.
Yep, he's just like Uncle Chuck.
And here comes our pundit to knock him down.
Hey, ain't that cheating?
It's only cheating if you get caught, Billy. Now put this on and follow me.
What is it?
It's a straitjacket.
Hey, I ain't crazy.
Not yet. Let's go.
Look at that over there.
What do you see, Billy?
A whole lot of corruption.
Why, Billy, there's nothing there.
Sure there is. I'm looking right at it.
That's just an empty closet, Billy.
No, it ain't. It's full of skeletons.
Sure, and J. Edgar Hoover wears a dress. You just sit right here, Billy. I'll call the funny farm.
But I'm looking right at it.
Oh, you're seeing things, Billy.
Look, miss, I know what I'm looking at. If you don't
touch
your mouth,
okay,
I'm gonna shut it for you.
Okay, calm down, Billy. I'm just gaslighting you.
You mean like Grandma after bean soup?
I'm making you feel crazy so you don't know what to believe. Next, we'll stick this tinfoil hat on your head so everyone else thinks you're crazy too.
Why, you lousy!
It only gets worse, Billy. Follow me!
Aw, come on!
Quiet, Billy. Do you hear it?
Sounds like bullshit.
That's right, Billy. All that chatter you hear is fake news.
News?
Fake news.
What's the difference?
Nothing.
So how do I tell what's real?
Look for the mainstream media seal of approval.
Ain't that kind of arbitrary?
Oh, you sure do ask a lot of questions, Billy.
Well, ain't it my constitutional right?
Sure it is, Billy. Now, take this.
Case sedative-y.
Come on, Billy. Go with these nice men now.
Where am I going?
Somewhere where no one will hear you.
Hey! Hey, you goons! Come on! Let me go!
Stay vigilant. Stay American, and always be on the lookout for propaganda.
This is American Parlor Songbook. Song, book, stories and songs, right? There's a long tradition of storytelling in folk music. So when I had the notion for a little musical history lesson on the subject, I reached out to our friend Art Padel. Art's career goes all the way back to the original scene in Greenwich Village, so who better, right? And we're always happy when he can join us on the program with something special. So here with the Talking Blues, on the history of the Talking Blues, Art Padel.
Talking Blues has been around for a while. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about it. Bunch of songs, without no music, just an old guitar, and them that could use it. Sometimes a banjo taken down from the wall, and words just about anything at all. Sometimes about politics, sometimes about summer or fall, sometimes about heaven, maybe nothing, or baseball. They tell us it started back in 26. See, the Greenville Trio found some new tricks. They sang us a song that had no tune. Me and a couple of guitars by the light of the moon. They just talked the words. Didn't sing a note. Folks seemed to love everything they wrote. A couple of years later, Woody Guthrie tried his hand, and he wrote a few with that special Woody Guthrie brand. He talked about politicians, a whole damn lot, the meanest men he knew. Why not? He said the meanest man had to have the meanest brain, 'cause all he scattered was aches and pain. That's what Woody wrote. He did too. Well, the die was cast and the idea took root. Bill Bob Marley joined in with a spliff and a toot, if you know what I mean. He wailed about injustice and the Rasta man to the beat of a drum made from a big old tin can. The people sat and listened to that reggae beat while the smoke curled up round their feet. Pete Seeger came along, gave us the call. He talked about the meetings at the Union Hall. He said, if you want high wages, let me tell you what to do. You gotta talk to the workers in the shop with you. You gotta build your union, gotta make it strong. People listened. Things changed. Well, then folk singers came from far and near. Talking blues exploded years and years of fear. Tom Rush, Van Ronk, all the rest. Yeah, Greenwich Village gave us their best. Old Bob Dylan, he didn't miss a beat. Talking World War III blues, we listened. Well, I was sitting around with my guitar one day, and a thought come tumbling down my way. Where did it really start, I asked myself, way before those history books up on the shelf. Something I'd really like to know. Way back? How far back? Well, maybe it started when they invented air, with Adam and Eve in a garden somewhere. Sitting on a rock, not much to do, beating on a log and shouting, Yahoo! Making rhythm, enjoying the breeze, just talking trash. You know, snake watching. Old Adam speaking words never spoken, opening ideas that had never been open. There's something to the rhythm of a beat that leads your mind where the right words meet. Thinking, squishing the mud with your feet. Damn, that lady looks familiar. There's lots going on in the world today. There's religion, war, folks making hay. Maybe time to pull the guitar off the wall, or the banjo, if that's your call. Heck, anything with strings at all. Talk some trash. Complain a little bit. Stir the pot. Hey, lady, pass that apple over here.
Our friend Art Padel. We have enough time for one more song from Chris Gruen.
north to the wood wheel mill. Wagon door, open up on Toucan Hill. Blade with your tongue so still. Now today antiquity, throw your clutch, free your gills. Out behind Dunroven's farm, there's a place where worry falls apart. We won't stop before we start. No, we wanna know, how do these old stories go, go, go? Hand, marry her. She's in love to beat the band, you see. Here is my fellow man and his wife, believe you me, they were born out of the land. Out behind Dunroven's farm, there's a place where worry falls apart. And we won't stop before we start. No, we wanna know, how do these old stories go, go, go? How do they go, 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 yeah, go, and go? So call on your pump house gears, yeah, sing the songs, the ones we have not heard for years. You see the old world and the new world here, watching you cutting through. Forget about their fears, how they disappear. Out behind Dunroven's farm, there's a place where worry falls apart now. And we won't stop before we start. No, we wanna know, how do these old stories go, go, and go? How do they go, 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 and go? How do they go, go, and go, go, and go?
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. Thanks to Chris Gruen and Art Padel for joining us. Tune in next week for another fun episode. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX. You can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Wendell!
Find us on Twitter.
Wendell! Wendell! Wendell!
Yes, Martha, what is it?
The Man Behind the Woman by Wendell Rathbone.
Now, where did you find that, Martha?
In your sock drawer, Wendell.
What were you doing in my sock drawer?
Well, I was looking for my fun pills.
Did you try the medicine cabinet?
Now, why would you hide them in there?
Uh-huh. See, it worked, didn't it?
Oh, it worked perfectly. Led me straight to this.
Martha, now that's private. I don't want anyone reading it until it's finished.
A personal memoir by hit composer Wendell Rathbone. Hit!
No, I'll have you know that Disco Chicken is still running up the charts in Albania. It just went 2x potato.
Potato.
500 units sold. It's on its way to going aluminum.
Oh, that's perfect. You can wrap the potato in it.
All right, are you finished?
Oh, no, no, no. We're just getting started. Chapter 1. Big Apple Boy.
Oh, Martha, please.
New York City. I didn't know how, but I knew someday they'd all know my name. Oh, brother.
I stand by every word in those pages.
Even page 27? My reputation as the life of the party began to precede me, oh, please.
Obviously, you've never seen my foxtrot.
If anyone can dance around here, it's me.
Ah, so that's what this is about.
Well, why would they want to read a book about you? What the public wants is excitement, intrigue, good looks. What the public wants is Martha Young, salacious confessions of a Hollywood actress.
But Martha, you've already released 3 memoirs.
Well, at least let me co-author this autobiography of yours.
That's not how an autobiography works.
Sure it is. I went through 6 ghostwriters on my 3 books.
Yes, and then 2 of them released unauthorized versions.
Oh, you bought that? I ghostwrote both of them.
Oh, you ghostwrote your own unauthorized tell-all.
Of course.
So that makes 5 books then.
And I have plenty more stories where that came from.
Just as well, Martha. But this is my personal story, and I'd like to tell it for antiquity.
For antiquity, by antiquity.
You're exactly the same age as me.
No, you're in your 90s. I'm not even 50.
Lying about your age doesn't change the facts, Martha.
Lying? It's on my birth certificate.
Yes, I cover that story in chapter 12.
Oh, I'll sue.
The whole sordid affair. Breaking into the registrar's office, swapping the forms, trying to bribe the security guard with a burlesque number.
Well, it worked, didn't it?
Sure, I had to pay him off.
Don't you think it's a bad idea to incriminate yourself in your own book?
I want to tell the real story. Besides, the statute of limitations.
If they're going to build a statue of anyone, it's going to be me.
No, statute.
Gesundheit.
Never mind.
Well, at least let me punch up this snooze fest.
Snooze fest, eh? You haven't seen the chapter on my appearance at the Copa.
You mean my appearance.
Well, it was my appearance, but halfway through my piano solo, you suddenly dropped down from the rafters riding a moon.
Oh, it's a classic entrance.
Traditionally, the moon isn't your own.
The human body is nothing to be ashamed of.
Just the same. I think I'll write it my way. Now, put it back in the drawer. Good night.
Well, at least let me see how this thing ends.
Mother, give me that.
What are you hiding back there?
There's nothing for you to concern yourself with. Now, give it over.
You saved it until the last page to sneak the dagger in.
Martha, that's not the final draft. Don't read that.
And on my troubled wife,
no.
Martha,
no,
troubled...
Dear. No, Martha.
For all the mania that follows her, you rat, for all of the destruction she's caused...
Martha?
All of the broken laws, bones, and promises, think. After a lifetime of being the man behind her picking up the pieces, I can honestly say... It was worth every minute.
All right, all right.
Were it not for her bright light shining, my life would have been dull. As I've always told her, in our most intimate moments, she makes things interesting. And the truth should be evident to anyone who has read this book. She makes me interesting. So I dedicate this book, a story of my life, to the story of my life, the love of my life, Martha Young. Oh, you sweet syrupy prince, you come here.
Oh, all right, now you know.
It is the best thing I have ever read.
Now, let's not get carried away, dear.
This is my favorite kind of story.
What, autobiography?
No, it's a love story.
Mine too, dear. Now, let's get some rest.
You know very well the story isn't finished yet.
Oh, it isn't?
No, you need to sing me my lullaby.
Oh, of course. Your song.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said. Time and time again, every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. All your fears run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way.
On pinholed skies the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say, though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night.
Good night.